is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, what? Lookout weekend. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi liked that one. See, you tempted me in the commercial break, and I had to go for it.
Hey, I'm glad you did. You punched it. I'll tell you this. The game is in trouble. They should have never let us get together and do a show.
It's true. The other two-thirds of Lombardi Line on the desk today, Stormy Bonantoni, Femi Abebefe. By the way, was it weird for you not to welcome us in and say it's a good day to be alive?
It's a great day to be alive. Great day to be a better. At least like you allowed me to say it. You allowed me to say it in the open. We didn't start the day off with it. It's a little bit of a remix. But, hey, you know, this is a remix combination. We've done an hour together before, so. Yes. I'm looking forward to doing a full 2 hours with you here since it's can we call it a football Friday?
We can. We
I mean, training
can.
Camp, all 32 teams are in there. I saw the Kansas City Chiefs pads on. So it's not just like the shirts and the shorts or anything. They got full on pads where pads are popping. Training camp is back.
Did you see one of the throws Mahomes had, by the way?
It was full, like five of them.
It was full Zach Wilson pro day. Okay. Just like off platform, downfield, everything.
I love the recall there, the Zach Wilson pro day throw.
You have to. You know what? Which actually is a great segue for how we're going to kick things off here is we're talking NFL. Training camps. Zach Wilson reportedly taking reps with the ones today at Broncos camp. So Bo Nix was with the starters yesterday. Jarrett Stidham the day before. We know we've heard from Sean Payton that he wants to see all of these guys get that opportunity. But today was the first day in front of fans at practice, so it's getting blown up.
So I'm sure there were fans who were like, all right, let's see Bo Nix. And then here's Zach Wilson. Here's Zach Wilson, who, like, people are not even convinced he wants to play in the NFL. I think if you're a Bronco fan and that's the first day you show up, you're a little bit disappointed. As somebody who wrote up about Bo Nix to be Offensive Rookie of the Year at 18-1 in our VSiN NFL guide, I'm a little disappointed in this. Like, I get that we're going to do the competition. I hope it's just a formality and they ultimately go with Bo Nix here. But, yeah, let's get Zach Wilson out of here. Nobody wants to see that. We've seen those movies before. Rotten Tomatoes said they were not good. Our eyes said they were not good. Let's move on to something else.
We know how this movie ends. Yeah. Bo Nix, by the way, on DraftKings, a $4 favorite to be the quarterback to take the first snap for the Broncos this year. Zach Wilson plus 450 and Jarrett Stidham plus 650. I do like that 18-1 number, though, by the way, on Bo Nix. Talk about a guy with opportunity and at a long number right there.
You got to play and you got to play early is the thing with winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. Like Justin Herbert, he might not have won it had he not had like Tyrod Taylor had the punctured lung or whatever. And that's how he was able to get on the field in week two. Who knows when we would have seen Justin Herbert, but that's the key to that award. It's like you want to play early and you want to play often. And I think Sean Payton's going to do what he can to prove that he made the right decision drafting Bo Nix. Cause everyone was criticizing, how could you take Bo Nix 12th overall? And as somebody who watched college football, I had the same thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, really? Bo Nix, even though we had the RIP Heisman bet on Bo Nix, that didn't quite get there thanks to my Washington Huskies denying me of money. But it's just that I think Peyton is really going to want to show and prove to people, this is my guy. I was saying that this was the guy that's going to lead this organization moving forward. So they're going to try any and everything to make sure that this is success.
Yeah, Russell Wilson wasn't his guy. Now he's got it in Bo Nix. Russell Wilson, by the way, interesting situation going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the last 24 hours as well. So Mike Tomlin said he's day-to-day with calf tightness that he woke up with yesterday. Said Wilson probably could have practiced Thursday, wanted to practice, but it was Tomlin's decision to, quote, create a little misery for him in the offensive unit. So Justin Fields takes first-team reps at Steelers practice yesterday. Leave it to Tomlin for a quote like that.
I love him so much. I love create a little misery. Like what is this guy talking about? Like, that's Mike Tomlin. He always talks about, we got to get out of the stadium alive. I'm like, where? You're playing football, buddy. But that's how he gets his guys motivated, and kudos to him for doing it. And oh, by the way, he's never been below 500. I know everyone's heard that a trillion times before. Is this your first time hearing
that? I never knew that. That's unbelievable. Okay,
breaking news, put it on the crawl. Mike Tomlin, never been below 500. But I think it's interesting, you know? I mean, like, is it a quarterback competition? The Steelers say no. Russell Wilson's in the driver's seat. They said it all throughout this offseason. However, you know, there's some of us who might still have a little bit of field stock. I've sold most of it, but I still have a little bit of shares that I'm holding on to. I mean, if he were ever to look good in a new offense with Arthur Smith, which say what you want about Arthur Smith, as an offensive coordinator, he's still a really good offensive mind. Head coach maybe was a little bit in over his head, didn't really quite handle all of those duties. But as a play caller, I think you have to like Arthur Smith, and they've really bolstered that offensive line. Now, the receivers, what Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields might have to throw to, leaves you wanting more. I'm a big George Pickens fan, but after that, it's kind of question marks. We'll see now that Deontay Johnson is now in Carolina, but Fields is going to have to string together some really, really good performances before this were ever to become a thing. But with the preseason coming up, maybe this is a team that you want to bet on since they do have Russell Wilson and Fields and have a little bit of quarterback depth.
Sure. As far as the odds go for the quarterback, quote unquote, competition, although, as you said, Russell Wilson in pole position, as Mike Tomlin has said, he's going to be the starter day one. He's minus 750 to be so. Yeah. Justin Fields plus 450. But you think about what Steelers quarterbacks did last year, the year prior, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky. Like, it was bad. Yeah. So if Russell Wilson is just able to distribute and get the ball out and not turn the ball over, like, you imagine that at least offensively they'll be able to be slightly productive. The defense we know is going to be solid. But that win total is suspect, and it's funny to me because of the never having a losing season thing. It's sitting right there on the 8.5 again. Prior to the schedule coming out, it was like minus 130 to go over. Now it's in the plus 130 range, completely flipped because of how difficult the back end of that schedule is, playing all those games in the division.
But even with that schedule being what it is, would you have the guts to go under 8.5 with Mike Tomlin's track record?
No, it's a no bet for me. And I was I bet the over last year, and I thought that I was going to be sweating it all the way home. They end up having a double digit year, which is remarkable.
That's
make
what
the playoffs.
Like, it's like this Tomlin voodoo. Like, I don't know how he does it, but he's able to grind out these victories. And they have bad losses as well. Like, they lost to the Cardinals in that weird, like, thunderstorm game that took like 6 hours. They also lost to New England on the Thursday night game when New England's offense was doing nothing, and all of a sudden they went in there and won. But then they go to Seattle and win that game, and they go up and down the field on the Seahawks, a team that was in the thick of it in the NFC playoff race. And if the Seahawks had won that, maybe it isn't the Green Bay Packers that make the playoffs. Maybe one of those teams, maybe it's the Rams that missed the playoffs. You know, like, that was a really important game, and it ultimately got the Rams and Green Bay into the postseason because Seattle blew it at home against Pittsburgh. So he has some bad losses, but he also has some great wins. And by hook or crook, he finds ways to at least get to 9 wins, which is a really, really remarkable job that he's done, especially ever since Big Ben Roethlisberger was on the decline the last couple years, but now has been gone. It's like the quarterback play has been just rather poor in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the last year of him, he was like an immobile tree out there on the field. And then what do you upgrade to? Just two guys that can't throw a touchdown pass to save their life. But Michael and I were talking about this yesterday during commercial break. I don't think it got on air, but talking about the Steelers' division record last year. They had 5 wins in the division.
That's
like,
insane.
Yeah, like, and we talk about how difficult this division is, maybe the most challenging in the entire league this year. And
for my money,
they went 5-1. Like, what?
With those quarterbacks.
Yes, unbelievable. Let's also go to Cincinnati here real quickly because, well, a lot of the talk, and don't worry, we'll talk about your Cowboys. We're giving a whole segment to the Cowboys next, but we're going to hold off on that.
I'd rather us not, but we have to.
I mean, both of our teams are going through some stuff right now because you have all your CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott. Yep. I've got Trent Williams has entered the chat apparently in San Francisco alongside the Brandon Ayuk of it all. But Bengals 3-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, he's on site for training camp, has yet to practice back-to-back days to open things up. When asked if it was contract related, head coach Zach Taylor said the absence was part of an agreed upon plan between himself and Chase.
And I think Chase was asked about it as well, and he said no comment is what he told the Cincinnati media. I mean, clearly this is contractual. Like, it has to do with Ja'Marr Chase wanting a contract. And maybe he's a little bit early because, like, this is the first year that he's been eligible to sign one of those big extensions. He just saw one of his best buddies, Justin Jefferson, become the highest paid non-quarterback in the National Football League. I'm sure he wants something close to that or maybe even surpassing it. But as we know, Mike Brown, the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, he does things on his own time. He is not going to budge for anybody, so Ja'Marr Chase might be barking up the wrong tree. Kudos to him, though, for at least showing up and avoiding the $40,000 fines, which they said that, like, if you come to an agreement, they can waive those fines for
those
guys
on
the rookie contracts.
Yep.
But, like, just don't even get to that point. Just show up and not actually practice, since now you can do the hold-in thing, which I actually think, like, hot take here, I think the hold-in is more effective than the hold-out. Because I think if you hold out, you're now out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. Like, the ship moves on with or without you. This is the National Football League. We're not going to be like, oh, when's so-and-so coming back? Maybe for a day, but eventually, guys are trying to get ready for the season. But when you hold in and your presence is there and you're being felt kind of similar to Jonathan Taylor last year at Colts camp when he would have, like, the hoodie on and look like the most miserable person on the planet, just, like, watching running back drills and all that stuff, I think that's a little bit more effective, which is what some of these agents, I think, are starting to do. Like, we see it with your team, Brandon Ayuk, now doing the hold-in thing because you want to avoid the fines and you want to apply a little bit of pressure on the team to say, hey, I'm here, so the media is going to ask about me, but I'm not going to risk injury.
another one of those hold-ins is Jordan Love out there in Green Bay. Yes, Diana Russini reported, though, that they are making progress toward getting a deal done sooner rather than later. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk described talks as being pretty close to being done. Adam Schefter predicted earlier this week that by the end of the week, Jordan Love would be the highest-paid quarterback in NFL history. We are at Friday. Haven't heard anything today, though.
I think this is a matter of just like when and not if.
Yep.
Like it's going to happen. Maybe it happens. Who knows? It might happen while we're doing the show. That'd be a lot of fun.
Hey, some breaking news. You know,
give us some of that, Green Bay. Maybe it happens later on today. Maybe it happens tomorrow or Sunday. Like it's going to happen at some point. And I think it's really like the gamble of all gambles that the Green Bay Packers, it appears at least after one season, have come up and found success. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't know what it was going to look like when Aaron Rodgers went to the New York Jets. It's like, okay, like they kind of like this Jordan Love guy. He's been kind of grooming under Rodgers, has been in the system. So it's not going to be that he's unfamiliar with what's going on. We just hadn't seen it yet. And the first half of last season, it's like, are they okay? Good thing they didn't commit long term. But then what he did in the back half was just phenomenal. Like I saw it firsthand. Like they came down to Dallas, tore my team to pieces, and almost beat your team. Like had your team on the ropes in the divisional game. They should have won that game. And if Jordan Love can continue to grow on that, a season where he threw 32 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, if you're a Bears fan, a Vikings fan, or a Lions fan, you're saying like, geez, the Packers found another one because he feels like he is one of those guys.
Second most interceptions in the entire National Football League, those 32.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the picks, 14 touchdowns, 10 picks the first 9 weeks of the season. He was a different guy. It was a very Jekyll and Hyde first half of the year versus the back end. But he's going to get paid because of what he did the back end and that statement in the playoffs against the Dallas Cowboys, a team with which we will discuss coming up next on the program. Lots of interesting sound from Jerry Jones, from Dak Prescott. You will not want to miss it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now, and our all-new college football betting guide drops next Thursday, August 1st. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. Our experts have profiles of each and every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings, plus, of course, best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July. You'll get both guides and full VSiN Pro access. That includes our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount of just $175. The football special discount price expires July 31st, though, so don't wait. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. No Michael Lombardi today. Stormy Bonantoni and Femi Ebbefe live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. And it is officially time to talk about your team.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of topics that we were able to cover in the first block of the show today, but we wanted to make sure we dedicated all of B to the Dallas Cowboys.
I noticed that.
There's some stuff going on, my guy.
Yeah,
how you feeling, first and foremost?
First and foremost, I feel I'm just like there's a lot of apathy. And this is how I felt shortly after the season and the embarrassing loss at home as the 2 seed in the NFC playoffs, losing to the Green Bay Packers. And like I figured, I was like, all right, at least this loss was so bad that they fired Mike McCarthy. They decided to start over. Then, of course, a few days later, Jerry Jones says, we're going to keep Mike McCarthy. And at that point, I'm like, then what is this 2024 season going to look like? Because the way that this thing is set up, like a lot of people have focused on like the contracts of Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, who's now holding out, Micah Parsons, who they ask about. Like, but Parsons, he just became eligible for a contract. I don't think that's really a 2024 issue. That's more of like a 2025 issue, I think, when they'll go down that road with Micah Parsons, which I think they should pay him everything he wants because I think he's the best player on the team by far. But it's just the Mike McCarthy aspect of him being a lame duck head coach. And when you look at the schedule, how it starts out, if they struggle, which is very much in play, it's a start like they're at Cleveland, which is a very tough defense. And oh, by the way, the Cowboys are horrendous on the road. And then they host the Baltimore Ravens. Like they have the Lions at home. Like they have the at Niners, I believe, a little bit later on in like October. Like if this thing were to start slow and get off to the rocks where they're, let's say they're 3-3 or 3-4, everyone's going to be asking about McCarthy's job. And do then you lose the locker room where the players are like, you know what, our coach is getting fired at the end of the year. Who cares? Like, I think that it's such a bad setup. And I get, like, Jerry Jones wanting to, like, and, like, what he meant by all in is, like, he's like, I'm pushing the chips to the table. Everyone is going to be kind of like, no future security. Go prove it to me. I think that's what he meant when he said all in. It wasn't, I'm going to go out and get all these free agents, which I think was how a lot of people interpreted it.
So there were so many different variations at that time when he first said all in, because yes, initially, and even Micah Parsons thought it when you heard the quotes coming out of like his podcast, right? Saying, I've given Jerry some advice and like guys that I would like around me.
Just Micah Parsons scouting board. I want to see that.
Exactly. Exactly. But to that end, so that was the initial reaction is, wow, okay, Dallas is really going to invest in this season. They've had three straight 12-win seasons, nothing to show for it. Let's see if we can move that needle and get over the hump. Obviously, free agency comes and goes, nothing happens. Yep. Okay, you know what Jerry really meant is he's going to go all in on his big three and these contracts that he needs to get done. So, okay, now it's all in means we're going to sign Micah Parsons to the deal he wants. We have to save all of this money. We're going to get CeeDee Lamb. We know we have to pay Dak. That's what we're going to do. None of that happens either. And so then yesterday, Jerry Jones is on the podium and he says, I'm all in again. Sometimes being all in means you narrow. You remove the months that are out here in the future and you narrow it down to where we're all talking about what's right now and the next playoff season. And that's it for everybody.
Yeah.
So, wow. I mean, like that's just...
He's telling them. Yes. He's like, you guys all want to be paid this money. You want this sort of security. Go out and do something in January. Now, he's also saying, I ain't going to help you do that. like you got to do it with what you have right now, but go do it before I commit more to you guys in the long term.
But it's just funny to me because Jerry Jones wants everybody else to be all in for him and the Cowboys on the field this year, but he's not going to be all in for them the way that they want.
Yeah.
And with that, star quarterback Dak Prescott was asked about the quarterback situation, was asked about the contract situation, and he had a very interesting response that I want to know from you as a fan how you felt hearing it. Take a listen.
I'm going to say it. I want to be here, but you know, when you look up, all the great quarterbacks I watched played for other teams. So my point in saying that is that that's not something to fear. That may be a reality for me one day, may not be my decision. So that's the freedom that I have is be where your feet are, make the most of it, be confident in yourself, make your team better. I love my teammates. I love that locker room. I love everything about being out here in Oxnard and being a Dallas Cowboy.
That is the comments of a man who is just unafraid of the uncertainty and says, you know what? I'm letting you know I will leave if the offer isn't what I want it to be. Yeah. And as he should.
And he's going to get a great offer if he hits free agency.
He has all the leverage as it pertains to he and the Dallas Cowboys in this contract negotiation, which is why it hasn't been done. I know a lot of Cowboys fans are like, pay Dak. But you have to think about it from Dak Prescott's standpoint. If you're Dak, why would you sign a contract now? Unless they're saying that they're going to pay you $70 million a year, why in the world would you sign a contract now when you're literally going to be a quarterback in the prime of his career going into unrestricted free agency? Like, that never happens. Usually when a quarterback's in unrestricted free agency, it's because they're old or whatever. Like, it's Peyton Manning with the neck surgeries. It's Tom Brady at the end of the rope with New England. You know, it's like it's Drew Brees off of the shoulder surgery when there was uncertainty about what his career would be like going forward. It's never you're healthy in your prime, boom, now you're in free agency. That's never the circumstance, and that is for Dak Prescott, who, as much as a fan, I might want more, he did finish second in the MVP vote last season, had the best year of his career. If he comes close to what he did last season, and even if he doesn't, it's still a really competent quarterback for a team that might be quarterback needy or quarterback starving and has no avenue to get one next year. They're definitely going to be knocking on Dak's door saying, hey, what do you want? We'll give you that deal. Kind of similar to what Kirk Cousins got with the Atlanta Falcons this year. Now, the Cowboys think that they can sign him again, which... I get it, and like they're the incumbent team, you should feel that way, but I don't think Dak's going to be scared to leave if things are not how he wants them to be. And the Jones family, you're just kind of just to Dak's mercy, which I think is another reason why some of these other deals haven't got done, because they want to get Dak done and figure out what they got to do to work around that before they give CeeDee Lamb or Micah Parsons the deal that they want.
Yeah, but I don't think that he would be that honest in a media availability in July before the 2024 season if he wasn't thinking that, hey, me not being in Dallas might not be the end of the world either. At all these other quarterbacks who have gone on to do that. And to your point, yes, second in MVP voting this past year. He was top three in total QBR, completion percentage, passing yards, passing touchdowns, like all of the things that you want your quarterback to be good at, he was, except for winning in the postseason.
Yep.
And that's the one thing. He's 2-5 in the playoffs. This is a team that not just with Dak Prescott as quarterback, but forever, it feels like,
since 95,
has not been able to make a conference championship game. And as far as this year goes, with what they're going to put out there on the field, you look at the season win total 10.5. Mm-hmm. You look at the division in the NFC East, where the Eagles now have, they went from being those co-favorites to the Eagles have kind of overtaken that. Yep. They continue to take money over the Cowboys. How do you view them and their season as of right now on July 26th?
Yeah, the Eagles now are odds on. -110 over at DraftKings. Cowboys +155. And this is like the hard part for me with Dallas, because while all of what we've said in this segment is very true, and the January frustrations, boy, there have been a lot of them. But in the regular season, the Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott Cowboys won a lot of games.
It works.
It works. Like, they've three straight years, they've won 12 games. Like, these, like, it's weird to say they're winners in the regular season, but they are.
Yeah.
And they have the win total at 10.5. And I think every person that you talk to that covers football or follows it just casually or bets on it like we do, every person would be like, oh, I like the under on the Cowboys. It's such a chaos, such a disaster, which I get it. I kind of lean towards the under as well, as a fan as well, thinking that this team is going to take a step back with the amount of starters that they lost. But they didn't lose the two most important entities, which is the head coach and the quarterback. Those two things are still intact. And those two things have won 12 games the last 3 years. So that's where I think there's this push-pull on what to do with Dallas in the market. I can't really find something. Like, I think, honestly, my suggestion would be, if you want to fade them, look at some alt-unders. Like, maybe go under 8.5 if you think it's going to be a total disaster. But I think paying the price of whatever it is, like -155 or -160 to go under 10.5, I think there's better ways to spend your money.
Okay. Over the last three seasons, the Cowboys had the second best record in the entire National Football League behind only the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs have a couple of Super Bowls. The Dallas Cowboys have done what they've done.
Playoff losses, what we have.
It's they didn't reach the NFC Championship game in any of those, giving them the most wins without a conference championship appearance in a 3-year span since the merger in the 70s.
It's insane.
Like, it's ridiculous.
And what bugs me the most is that two of the last three playoff losses were at home, against your Niners and then against the Green Bay Packers, which are teams that are like kind of like traditional rivals to the Cowboys. If we're thinking back to history,
you even think about the quarterbacks that he has lost to. It's Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock, granted, we know what Brock Purdy is becoming, but it's, you know, yes, there was an Aaron Rodgers, but there's also a Jared Goff, and
how about Jordan Love in his first playoff start on the road?
Exactly. So what about these markets? There are Dallas Cowboys stage of elimination props at DraftKings. I'm not going to say to miss the playoffs, because I think, to your point, they'll have another good regular season, but to lose in the wild card +200, lose in the divisional round 4-1, lose in the conference championship, well, they'd have to get there. Can I just do a bet to, against that first? But yeah, so 4-1 divisional round, that could be worthwhile if history suits us well.
Yes, no, Cowboys, will they make the conference championship game? The no minus a million. To lose in the wild card round, I think, is interesting. +200. Okay. You're getting some decent plus money. This is a team that has proven that they can get to the playoffs in a rather weak NFC. I think +200 is interesting if they were to lose to one of those division winners.
All right. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, the Raiders might think they're playing puppet master, but Ooh. Are they really poking the bear? We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, if you haven't already done so, make sure you check out the best football podcast on the planet. You know it, you love it. The GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi and yours truly, Femi Abebefe, hanging out for along the ride here. We talk all sorts of NFL headlines, storylines, as well as interviews as well. We talked to Brett Veach, Chiefs general manager, last week. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. The GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi. Get it today.
You guys have had some awesome offseason guests.
It's been a great Brett Veach. We had Chris Ballard on, Colts general manager. We've had media folks as well. You know, we had Phil Simms, Chris Simms, Booger McFarland, Brian Baldinger. It's been a fun summer to help us get to training camp, but now we're locked in.
And this is a long tease because you guys will be having another guest upcoming that is pretty dang cool. So that's a long tease.
Put a little carrot out there for the folks.
You're going to want to, if you're not subscribing and having the auto downloads, now's the time to get in there and 100%. Make sure you're doing it. Another interesting, so we talked earlier, all 32 teams are entering training camp right now, practices. Some teams even have pads like the Kansas City Chiefs. And there is one team that is finding a way to upset the Kansas City Chiefs before a game has even been played. And you know what? Quite frankly, just me personally, I'm not trying to get on the bad side of a team. I've got to play twice a year in the division and has won multiple Super Bowls in recent history. Yes. That's just me. That's just me personally, but the Raiders have no problem. And we've seen that evidenced by earlier this offseason when Antonio Pierce talked about the Mahomes rules and all of that stuff. Now, a fan at at Raiders training camp brought a Kermit the Frog puppet dressed up as Patrick Mahomes that players were playing with.
Insane. And this is like, I think it's like a rookie or a second year player.
Rookie safety Trey Taylor. Poor guy. Like, don't do this, buddy.
I mean, you don't even know the rivalry yet of the Raiders and the Chiefs, but I just think that this is silly. And I'm not someone that hates trash. I love trash talk. I think it adds to the game. It adds to the theater of everything. And these rivalries, the Raiders should hate the Chiefs. But to go ahead and poke the bear, like you said, as we were heading to break, it just does not make any sense. Mahomes is not thinking about the Raiders right now.
No.
But now he is. Now he is, because you had, like you said, the Mahomes rules of, oh yeah, like we want to rough them up like how the Bad Boy Pistons did.
Gotta
Michael Jordan.
Knock the head off the snake. Yeah. Oh, and the because of the game that they won when Aiden O'Connell didn't even throw a pass in the second a completion in the second half. But that's the recipe.
That's the recipe
to beating Mahomes. Like all
two
of
defensive
this.
Touchdowns is the recipe.
All of this. That's a really. And I'm an Antonio Pierce fan, so I do want to say that I'm hoping that there's going to be substance behind kind of the rah-rah, the motivation. Mm. I like him as a person, and I think that the leadership qualities he has are interesting.
The players love him.
Correct. I just need to see if that translates to the field more 100%. Than just the interim bump that we talk about that he had last year.
100%. And that's the thing is, like, can they actually make this be a sustainable thing? Because prior to that kind of flukish Christmas Day victory at Arrowhead Stadium, which all that did was propel the Chiefs to a third Super Bowl in like 5 years, the Chiefs had been kicking their tails. They have been kicking their tails, and they've actually made Allegiant Stadium a home away from home, beating the Raiders up ever since they've come into this stadium and also winning the Super Bowl there just this past February. So I just think that you're just going up the wrong tree here with Patrick Mahomes. And I tweeted it out yesterday. We were looking at the line during the break. The Raiders are catching 5.5 in that game. If that's the line, when we get to October 27th, that Sunday, later on this season, I will be laying the points with Kansas City Chiefs. Because Mahomes is not – he's one of those psycho competitors like the Jordans, the Bradys, that is going to kind of look at this and say, oh, okay, bet. I'm about to put it on y'all. And I think they're going to do that once they come here to Allegiant Stadium.
And this is just further evidence to me that Patrick Mahomes is just living rent-free in
their head.
In the Raiders facility. And you mentioned Allegiant Stadium being a home away from home. We all remember, too, the Chiefs fan when Allegiant was being constructed that buried a Kansas City flag in the foundation. Like, that's a real thing that happened. It's crazy. But, okay, to go back to the history of Patrick Mahomes facing off with this Raiders team. 10-2 against the Raiders. Yes, one of those losses did come in KC last year, the one we talked about on Christmas Day. While the Chiefs had the last laugh, winning a Super Bowl while the Raiders were sub-500, Patrick Mahomes' career stats against the Raiders, 3,573 yards, 30 touchdowns to just 4 picks, a 109.6 passer rating, and again, that 10-2 record with the Chiefs outscoring the Raiders those 12 games by a combined 138 points. There were a couple close games, but there were a lot of blowouts in that stretch as well. So the Raiders have a lot to prove, in my opinion, this year, and it is going to be interesting. Their win total is only 6.5.
6.5, yep.
I feel like if the Raiders get some semblance of decent quarterback play, whether it is Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, that they could go over that number. But I don't know if I'm confident that they're going to get that.
Yeah, there's nothing that I would bet on. Like Minshew, like I covered him in college when he's at Washington State and all that stuff. Like, I like him personally. But in terms of what he does on the field, like Michael Lombardi talks about all the time, he's a reliever. Like, come in for a couple starts, 3 starts, it can look good. But the longer he has to play, the worse he will play. And Aiden O'Connell, who last preseason, I was like, hey, do I need to be buying stock in this Aiden O'Connell kid? This is interesting. I think people were betting him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year if Jimmy's injury didn't really heal properly. But once we actually got to the real games and the game sort of sped up, it looked really bad. He looked like a mid-round pick who was a rookie quarterback. So that's not to say that he can't improve this year. And I'm sure the Raiders would like O'Connell to actually be the starting quarterback. Every reporter who covers the team that we talk to says that they want O'Connell. And if it's tied, O'Connell's likely going to be the guy.
Devontae Adams even said he thinks that Aiden O'Connell's in the driver's seat for that.
Yeah. And Devontae Adams, I don't know if you saw receiver or if you've just been paying attention to the Raiders. He clearly has a lot of say in what happens there. And Max Crosby has a lot of say. So that carries a lot of weight.
How unhappy was he last year? We knew from watching from the outside looking in, there was frustration, but to hear those interviews and the sound bites from him on the sideline during those games, he was absolutely miserable. You know, while on Devontae here real quickly, I don't know if you saw, or like it's been all over Twitter because Mike Greenberg was on Pat McAfee earlier this week, and he has a bet with Pat that Devontae Adams will be on the Jets by Halloween. Thoughts?
Wow. I mean, so I could see the Jets being desperate enough to do it because Saleh and Douglas, like, this is the year where they have to produce or they're gone. So if things are kind of just okay, I could see them making the move like that to go over the top. The Raiders, though, I feel like if you're Antonio Pierce, you can't be comfortable to where you're like, oh, yeah, let's just get some draft picks and all that stuff. Like, I don't think you can be comfortable trying to rebuild. Like, I think you need to show steady improvement building on what you did in the second half of last season. So I don't see unless the Raiders are just a complete disaster, and let's say they're like 1-6, maybe then they'll trade him because it's like, okay, this season is not going anywhere. Let's at least start looking towards the future of trying to build our quarterback up, whoever that quarterback is in the future, and get
some
nice
assets. Bring in Dak Prescott in free agency.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, if you sign Dak Prescott and all of a sudden you have all these top picks and you have like you could be cooking with gas all of a sudden in a really tough division in the AFC West, depending on what Denver and Los Angeles does. So maybe if they're off the rails and they're really bad, they would do that. But it just feels like if they're within the mix, like, you know, they're middle and around 500, I think the Raiders are going to be like, well, we're still good. We don't want to give up on this season. So I would still say that's unlikely, but never say never.
Yeah. Let's go through this division, though. The Kansas City Chiefs have won 8 straight AFC West titles.
Is that dominance?
Pretty good. Rumor has it. Minus 230 to do it again. So the expectation is that they're just going to continue to run through and dominate this division. The Los Angeles Chargers and new head coach Jim Harbaugh, who says training camp feels like being fresh out the womb.
Love it.
At plus 320. The Raiders there at 9-1. And the Broncos, the longest shot by far at 18-1. As you look at this, the Los Angeles Chargers are the next shortest shot. Do you think that they have any real opportunity of potentially being one of those worst to first in the division finalists and competing in year one under Harbaugh?
I think they're definitely going to compete. Worst to first, I think they would need like a Mahomes injury. If Mahomes is healthy, the Chiefs are going to win that division until proven otherwise.
Right.
At least that's going to always be my thought process going into any season. But I do think they are the clear number two team in the AFC West because I think that Denver and Las Vegas are kind of closer together than the market thinks because the odds are twice for Denver to win the division what they are for the Raiders to win the division. Now, I think both of those teams are complete cross-offs. Well, I guess I'll say this, and this might sound crazy. I guess you can't cross off Denver just in case if Bo Nix is like Drew Brees 2.0, then Denver could have a chance. But I think that's really unlikely. But we just haven't seen him play, so I don't want to completely cross them off because I have too much respect for Sean Payton as a head coach. And if Bo Nix is good.
And you want your Bo Nix ticket to cash. I
want to
win the
offensive
rookie of the year. We know where we're going
with this. But I'm just saying that the outcome is there. Like we know O'Connell and Minshew are not going to hit that ceiling. Bo Nix could because he's a rookie quarterback. He'd also be terrible as well. So, but I think that right now, I don't think you can completely cross them out, but I think you can completely cross off the Raiders, even though I do love the Raiders' defensive line. That's about all I love about the Las Vegas Raiders. But the Chargers, that's the team that's interesting to me because Harbaugh's going to bring toughness, which is what that team needs. And I think everyone's been going hard about, hey, they have no receivers, like Keenan Allen's in Chicago, Mike Williams is now with the Jets. Those guys were injury prone. Like, I'm sorry, like Keenan Allen was not keeping any defensive coordinator up at night. Like, oh, tomorrow we got to play Keenan Allen. Like, he's a really good player, but he's not like a true like number one burner type wide receiver. And Mike Williams, I mean, what's it over under 11 and a half games that he's healthy for the Jets? Like, that's kind of his MO for his whole career. So I think the Chargers are much better than people think. I think they're going to be a playoff team.
And if you look at what Jim Harbaugh has done literally every other stop in his career, even that first season, he's been able to invoke legitimate change. And so we'll see.
You did it with your Niners.
Exactly. I know all too well. You know, the Singletary experience wasn't going great for us at that point.
I want winners.
Yeah, and he stepped in, and you find yourself in an NFC title game right away. Like, where
probably should have gone to the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable. So we'll see if they can do that with the Chargers. I do like the over 8.5 for the season win total, but there is a little bit of juice on that because people believe in Harbaugh in year one. We're going to hit the break here. Plenty more coming up next on the Lombardi Line. Don't go anywhere. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, you'll love all of our betting tools and content available each and every day at VSiN.com. Best bets from all of our show hosts, guests, experts, and analysts. Updated betting splits, exclusive articles, including regular columns from our own Michael Lombardi. And of course, betting tools and betting guides, the NFL betting guide out now. The college football betting guide will be here before you know it, coming up next Thursday, August 1st. Become a subscriber today. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Speaking of college football, we will discuss a good bit of it coming up in hour two. Charlie Potter of On Three Sports does a great job covering the Alabama Crimson Tide. We'll get into that. We'll also give our early predictions, and please do not hold us to our final four in the college football playoff on July 26th, but I think that'll be a fun discussion coming up later too.
Pencil, not pen, perhaps.
Yes. That is a great way to put it. Or if it is pen, it's the erasable ones that you used in middle school. We're going to stick to the NFL, though, here for now, as all 32 teams across the National Football League are in training camp. We've seen a lot of hold-ins, hold-outs, and interesting updates on players, including the reigning MVP, Lamar Jackson, who for the fourth time now in five practices is unavailable due to an illness. The one practice he did show up on Wednesday, he left about an hour in because he wasn't feeling well again. Yesterday was an off day and still not out there on the practice field today, Femi.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Lamar's okay, and hopefully this is just like a severe cold or something like that. We'll just preface our comments with that off the top here. But I mean, if you're the Ravens, is this maybe a blessing in disguise that his annual illness is now instead of in December like it always comes? Because like there's always that week 14, Lamar not at practice today, illness Thursday, not at practice Friday, limited practice, illness, questionable for the game on Sunday, and he always plays. But like there's always like this some kind of disruption of their preparation because Lamar is ill.
I saw a stat last year that he's missed at least two practices every year with an illness.
It's insane. I've never seen it with a quarterback. Like I've never seen it with any player, honestly. Maybe it's just because it's a quarterback.
You are rich enough, Lamar. You got paid. Get some airborne.
Bro,
head down to CVS.
Like, DayQuil, NyQuil is not that expensive, buddy. Like you can buy DayQuil if you wanted to, the company. Like Vicks. Like go get a sponsorship deal with them. Because I don't know what's happening. We haven't really heard anything. He's under now medical evaluation from the Baltimore Ravens. So that's what we say. Like we hope that it's nothing that's like severe or anything like that. Maybe it's just a common cold, but it's just weird. Like, I don't think it's going to impact anything from a betting standpoint this upcoming season. Like, he's likely not going to play in the preseason, so that's not a big thing. Maybe if he continues to miss more practices, maybe he starts a little bit slower so we can have that conversation if this continues 2-3 weeks down the line. But it's just another chapter of what has been kind of like a weak immune system for Lamar Jackson over the course of his career.
The exact comment that was passed along and posted from ESPN's Adam Schefter on X, he continues to undergo further evaluation and receive care from our medical team, according to the Ravens. Now, this is a team that's pretty interesting coming into this year. Obviously, offensively, they bring in Derrick Henry for a team that failed to run the ball in the most important game of their season. You
still
anticipate
can't get over that.
Bringing in a guy like that, that ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. Defensively, though, there are some question marks because of the talent that ultimately walked away and their defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, now being the new head coach over there in Seattle. When you look at this Ravens team, what are your expectations?
My expectations are they're not going to be as good as they were last year. And that's not like really like a hot take because they were at the regular season, the best team in the NFL. They won 13 games. Lamar won the Most Valuable Player of the Year award. Now, I don't think that this is going to be a team that is like going to miss the playoffs, but I do think they're going to be a wild card team. Okay. And I see this kind of being like a 10, maybe at the ceiling, 11 win team, just given the fact that they had a couple of really big changes that I don't want to say it's been under the radar because we all see Mike McDonald take the job in Seattle and like people have talked about that quite a bit, but it does feel like at least early on in this offseason, because we've seen a little bit of an adjustment to their win total now, but earlier it felt like people were just like, you know what? It's Lamar, it's Harbaugh, they win a million games, let's just put the win total at 11.5. But like the Mike McDonald loss is a really big one because he knew how to use those guys like Kyle Hamilton, who maybe in a different defense isn't the player that he is, where now he's like one of the best defensive players in football. And then also on the offensive line, they quietly lost three starters on that offensive line. And one of the starters who they retained was their franchise left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, shout out to Las Vegas, but he struggles to stay healthy. You know, like this is a guy that he's like kind of like Tyron Smith, but he's younger. So you expect him to be out there a little bit longer, but pencil him in for over under 12.5 games played in the regular season. Like he has trouble staying on the field. So if he were to have health issues, now you have an offensive line that's really decimated, that's relying so much on Lamar Jackson, who, yeah, he is a top 5 quarterback in the league. But when you start chipping away at those blocks, I don't know if the expectations should be this high for the Ravens, despite what they did last year.
Sure. And to that end, when you are the top seed in the AFC and you do have the number one defense in just about as many categories as you can think of defensively, the only way to go is down. It's very hard to maintain that level of success. And they did make it to an AFC title game and were in position to go to a Super Bowl. And obviously that didn't come to fruition. I do still like this team, but there are a couple interesting NFL matchup props on DraftKings right now. And the Ravens are involved in one against a division opponent in the Bengals, who will have more wins in the regular season this year. Ravens and Bengals are both even money. For them to tie and have the same amount of wins is plus 750. Any lean one way or another? What's your confidence level in Cincy?
I like Cincy. I think a lot of people like Cincy, just given the fact that Joe Burrow is healthy. Can now, knock on wood, can we get Burrow like healthy through a training camp for once? Like no appendectomies, no calves, none of that stuff.
He's got to be going through something with his hair that we've seen. Maybe this is
real Slim Shady.
Maybe
stand
this
up.
Is a female thing, but you always see it with women that if they're going through something or they really need change, they chop their hair off.
Well,
and
cut
that's
and color.
Like, yeah, cut and color. It's a buzz and bleach for Joe. So just be warned. But go on.
It is very strange. He said he was bored. Yeah. I'm like, buddy, training camp's almost here. Why are you that bored?
You know, when I get bored, I scroll TikTok or watch Netflix. I don't, I was about to say I don't bleach my hair, but that's a bad comparison because I do it every 8 weeks. Go on.
But I mean, how are you bored? You were like in Paris for like fashion week. Like you're living this great life. You're not that bored, Joe. You just want to do something weird and okay, more power to you. America is a free country.
Do you like the look or
no? I think it's terrible. I think it's terrible. And like some people are like, you know what? I'm into it. I'm like, no, you're just lying to yourself because you think, because Joe Burrow's cool. So you're going to just say that you think it's cool. No, I think he's cool, but this look is terrible for him. But I digress. In terms of what we see this year, like Cincinnati, I'm very curious to see how they start. Like, that's the conversation with this team every year. What are the Bengals going to do in those first 4 weeks? We know, like, I think apparently Zach Taylor, he has Camp Cupcake. I don't know if it's just everyone kumbaya. Let's kick it and we'll figure it out once the actual season starts. But this team notoriously starts very slow. Now, they start to ascend in November, December, which is when you want to be playing your best ball. So you can't really knock them too much. But every win matters in one of these sort of head-to-head matchups. And on the flip side, the Ravens, I mean, training camp is hard knocks for them. And not the TV show. It's like hard knock life training camp. Like they're going at it and they make sure that they hit the ground running every regular season. So in a regular season market, despite me liking the under on the Ravens win total, I think I would still lean towards Baltimore to have more regular season wins, just given the fact that I know Harbaugh is going to treat training camp very seriously and is going to make sure his team is ready to go by week one.
Okay, from one Harbaugh to another, this next prop I'll throw up at you, Chargers minus 280 to have more wins, or the Raiders plus 255. The tie is 9-1. I mean, I don't want to lay 280, but it feels pretty.
Yeah, it feels light. Like, it feels honestly, yes.
But I would rather, to this point, the price differential for the Chiefs to win the division is not that different. And I think that I would probably feel more confident in
just,
that.
Yeah, just bet the Chiefs
just
to win.
Just bet the Chiefs to win the division.
AFC West. That's a really good call. Because like I said, like who wants to run to lay minus 280, even though like maybe the zero's missing on this one? Like I think the Chargers are going to be much better than the Raiders. Obviously, barring injury and all that stuff, which injuries will happen, unfortunately. But yeah, like the Chargers, this is a no-brainer for me. I think the Chargers are going to have more wins.
All right, let's cruise through these next four. Kansas City Chiefs minus 105 or the 49ers plus 105, tie 7-1.
I'm curious to get your thoughts. How about how you feel about your team and the contract holdout, hold in that's going on with Ayuk and Williams?
They'll get that all resolved. They'll both be on the field. It'll be great. What I do struggle with the 49ers and their schedule is that chunk of games where they're playing like four teams that are coming off of byes and the rest thing that they're going to be going through during that span, I don't love. But I think the 49ers. Well, I would rather take the plus money on the 49ers than the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, two of the best teams in the league, probably the two best teams in the league. I know the Niners, they've made some changes at defensive coordinator Steve Wilkes. He's no longer there.
We could have had Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that would have been nice. He extended the offer at least.
I know. I appreciate the ask. I mean, the worst he could say is no, which he did. But man, a girl can dream.
How quickly do you think he said no?
Right. Oh, God.
You want me to be a DC? Yeah. Sorry, Kyle. I love you, but goodbye.
I appreciate the effort. Commanders minus 145, Giants plus 140.
I'd go Commanders. I don't know if I'm still workshopping this take. I think the Commanders could make a push to the playoffs.
Whoa.
I think they might be able to. Pending Jaden Daniels and, like, how quickly he can hit the ground running. And I don't think he's going to pull a Stroud and, like, all of a sudden be like, oh, my God, is he a top 10 quarterback already? But Dan Quinn, big vibes guy. And that team really needs a big vibes guy. I think he might be just what the doctor ordered, even though I'm not the biggest Quinn head coach guy, but he might be what the doctor ordered after the previous regime.
Okay, rapid fire. Browns or Steelers?
Browns.
Eagles, Cowboys?
Eagles, unfortunately.
No way!
Unfortunately.
They're a good regular season team. I thought we were both on board. All right. Yeah. Fun stuff. We're going to hit the break when we come back. Turn our attention to a little college football with Charlie Potter. You won't want to miss it.